Welcome to Manage Your Tools. This is Kate.
And this is Sarah.
Today's podcast, HR May Not Be Your Friend, part two of two.
The questions this cast answers are, is HR a resource I can use? What can I do to work better with HR? And what should I be careful of when dealing with HR?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Did you know that all of our licenses come with discounts of anywhere between $50 to $150 that can be used for other products and trainings? Get yours today by visiting us at manager-tools.com/licenses. Part two, HR's taskings oughtn't be your top priority.
Exactly. And this follows, folks, inevitably from the earlier discussion about HR being a staff organization versus a line organization. And this guidance applies to all staff organizations, not just HR. Staff taskings are usually not as important as line, chain of authority kinds of taskings. Mm-hmm. It's far better if you're going to be late on something, and things sometimes are late, it's so much better to be late in getting back to finance or legal or HR or security than it is to take your eye off the ball when it comes to your primary responsibilities as it pertains to getting your job done. Those things are ancillary to the purpose, not the purpose itself. Focus on the purpose.
It can be tough too, because sometimes staff invoke their line boss's authority in asking for things. So they invoke the power of their VP. And I suppose I would say it can be scary for people who don't know that, you know, it's not quite that clear cut. And we're not suggesting you can always blow off every request from staff departments. Rather, staff requests, including HR's, don't come to you with the same urgency or role power as something from your boss or her boss, which is something to be aware of and not necessarily something that all managers might know.
Yeah.
It also depends on how your organization is run or where you came from before. I know someone who worked at KPMG and their HR stuff was pretty intense and was not really seen as ancillary.
Yeah. And what I would say also, in addition to that, is regardless of where you work, if you're a top performer, considering things like HR's requests as requests, not commands, is so much easier to do. If you got your work done, if you're working hard, you're above and beyond, it's way easier. When HR or any other staff organization, for that matter, asks for something and you, the top performer, don't respond, and then they, of course, as they would, escalate to your boss is probably really likely to tell them some version of go pound sand, and then ask you to get around to it when you have time.
You're not going to get in a ton of trouble.
Exactly. Your manager's not going to come down on you, if you will, because you missed this deadline. They're just going to make a suggestion that you get around to it when you can, because they know you're working on stuff that is so much more important than this other ancillary request. However, I would suggest if you're a weaker performer, you probably don't have the same ability to put off working on an HR request for something. Your failure to respond will probably be seen as just more evidence that you aren't a high performer. And your manager may not defend you when people come asking around about why you haven't done this thing, because it wouldn't shock them if your work wasn't done. So, a little plug here for getting results, working on the right things.
Your results, not HR's.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
All right. And confidentiality.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah. You got to watch out here, y'all. Much of what HR does is about topics that are often treated confidentially. It's necessary. It's reasonable. It's part of competitive security, right? Not trying to reveal the company's pay bands to others. Internal talent management, not revealing confidential conversations with areas of performance, potential, and future assignments involved, et cetera. And the fact that many HR-related topics are at times confidential creates a challenge for HR that isn't of their own making.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
An erroneous assumption that too many managers make is that because what HR deals with, at least as far as the manager knows, is confidential, that therefore what the manager discusses with their HR rep is also confidential.
Yeah.
False.
False. And false, folks.
False.
Don't believe them. I'm not saying they're trying to be sneaky and malicious. That's not what I'm saying at all.
No, it's, and I highlight, I do think a lot of managers make this assumption. If the HR person may never say a single thing about it, and the manager just goes about their interactions.
Right.
With this baked in.
Yes, exactly. I would totally agree.
False. Just because you're in the room with HR doesn't mean everything that's said in the room is not going to go outside the room. That's not how it is.
Yeah. Well, I would go a step further, Kate. I would say when you talk to HR, nothing you ever say is completely confidential. It's not. If your HR representative tells you that what you tell them about anything is going to remain confidential, they are wrong. Regardless of how well-intentioned their offer is, they are wrong. They cannot promise you secrecy and anonymity. While we respect that they're trying to build trust with you, they simply cannot promise confidentiality. They work for someone else, not you. If you tell them something that is detrimental to the firm or their boss, they are obligated to act and tell someone. The thing I always think of when I think about the HR thing is, who do you think pays them? Because it's not you. That's the person whom they owe things to above and beyond them owing them to you. Confidentiality is something they cannot promise.
Yesterday, I had to call the police in my town. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because you said anonymous. And I was thinking, I just asked somebody if I could be anonymous. It was the police. And they actually said I could, which is great. We've got someone violating the rules of the road in our neighborhood. And of course, I don't want that.
You just outed yourself. You are no longer anonymous on your own behalf.
I am absolutely certain that the person
doesn't listen to this podcast.
No. And if they did, they don't know I'm their neighbor. They don't know, but I mean, I didn't say what town or anything, right?
Yeah, yes. Don't people recognize you?
Oh, I don't think that they.
Okay. Okay. You just say, yeah. Okay.
No, I don't know that I've ever spoken to them. And here's why. Because I don't trust these people enough to trust their behavior should they discover that I called the police.
Oh, totally, dude. I would absolutely ask the police for anonymity if I were calling the police.
Yeah, I don't trust that this person would not behave in a way that is dangerous. I've seen them behave dangerously before. So no, I don't talk to them. They've never heard my voice. Have they seen me? Sure. Do I know what they look like enough to point them out? No. I mean, it's a neighborhood problem. No, I haven't outed myself. But when you said anonymous, I was like, what did I ask to be anonymous on recently? Because there's so few things that are anonymous.
I know. When do you ever ask, can I be anonymous?
Right. There's so few things that are confidential. Honestly, the idea of secrecy, anonymity, confidentiality it's a great one. I think people think more things are confidential, anonymous, secret than really are. And in this case, HR professionals are just as honest as the rest of us.
Yeah, they're not trying to be sneaky. They're not lying to you, I guess is what I'm saying. They're not.
Right. And they probably better than anybody understand what can and can't be confidential because, I mean, honestly, some HR people have taken classes on it. Their area of expertise, it requires them to understand. And they've probably read documentation about what is and what isn't, et cetera. But they also know that information is currency within organizations and are incentivized to develop trusting relationships with those whom they support. And sharing confidentialities is a way to build trust.
Absolutely. But knowing all that, I mean, folks, your managers, it is incredibly important, incumbent on managers to understand that HR cannot promise us confidentiality and manager. You should be telling the folks on your team the same thing as well. Because it's not just the managers who think that they can go to HR and be guaranteed confidentiality. It's the same as true of your direct. They feel and believe those same things. So share that with your directs. Whatever we tell HR, whether it is just off the record or truly confidential, we have to assume that there are situations where they are obligated to share whatever information we provide them with other HR professionals or their boss or the union or whomever it may be.
I would go a step further. Managers, you can't promise confidentiality.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. You're totally right, dude.
Your directs cannot expect of you full privacy, confidentiality, off-the-record conversations. It's one thing for your direct to say, oh, I wouldn't say this to anybody else because they're going to choose words that aren't politically thought through, or for someone to vent, et cetera. Okay. However, for example, if one of your directs were to admit to you that they stole from the company, that is not something you can keep secret.
Yeah. Folks, if you haven't listened to our podcast, You Cannot Be Friends With Your Direct, listen to it. That's the entire crux of it.
Yeah.
You can't be friends with your direct because they could tell you something in friendship, thinking, assuming, as a friend would, confidentiality, because friends can ask of each other confidentiality, right, when the limitations of your current role don't allow you to give them confidentiality in 100% of the instances, like Kate's point.
Yeah.
If they steal from the company, you can't.
Right. Please don't, y'all, make assumptions that the things that you say at work are confidential. They're not. And not only are they not confidential, but they're also not anonymous and they are not secrets.
Yeah, exactly.
I genuinely think that people often assume that they are saying things that aren't going any further.
Yeah.
Like, oh, just say this thing and like no one else will ever hear it. But all people do is talk. So as a reminder, confidentiality at work is really, really, really small. I mean, just there's just so few things that fall under that umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to make sure that you understand and you're not caught off guard and you're not stuck.
And your directs aren't caught off guard.
Yeah, absolutely. Due to high demand for one-on-one executive coaching, we're excited to announce that both managing partners, me and Sarah, have joined Mark in providing executive coaching. While their commitment differs slightly in terms of duration and pricing, it includes the same benefits: weekly coaching calls and unlimited text or email support with Kate, me, or Sarah throughout the 4-month minimum engagement, with options to extend beyond that. For more information, please contact Maggie at customerservice@manager-tools.com. So finally, beware the quasi-employee union representative.
Yeah, this is the part that gets me fired up.
Yeah. And you know, you and I think maybe have had different experiences with this, partially just because of geography. Mm-hmm. I mean, I come from a place where unions are much less prevalent.
Yeah. And I worked in a unionized environment for years and years.
And so your exposure to it can really change your views on it. You have way more experience working around unions and in unions than I do.
Absolutely. And folks, I would suggest that, to Kate's point, some of you don't work in a union situation, may never work in a union situation, and I don't think it matters in that there are HR professionals who, whether or not you have any unionized staff or not, have come to believe mistakenly that they represent the employees of your organization. I think this is probably more prevalent, I would think, Kate, in unionized organizations, obviously, but in smaller firms, in things like startup kind of companies. HR is, what are some of the, CPO, chief people officer kind of stuff, right? They're trying to tie themselves to more of the layman within the organization as an HR person. And folks, you got to know, this is a troubling trend. The fact is that managers are employees of the firm. More importantly, managers are the organization to our directs. What these misguided HR professionals mean when they think of themselves as like quasi-union reps or representatives of the employees is that their job is to protect individual contributors from your organization.
Mm-mm.
And It's completely untrue, going back to a statement I made earlier. Who pays them? It's not the employees. It's the organization. That should be the answer to the question, who do they truly represent in this situation? This non-existent role of the defender of our employees is a really, really powerful and very common, in fact, motivator for many HR professionals. I think a lot of people go into HR thinking, I want to be an HR professional so I can defend the employees, I can take care of the people. Then they find themselves in a position where they're really defending the organization against the people that work in the organization, because that's what HR's role really truly is.
It's almost like they see themselves as advocates.
Yeah.
Sometimes. And that's not the purpose of HR. That's a lawyer or a union rep. And I would suggest too, is it trendy? It's timely.
Yeah, it's timely. I'm not sure if it's trendy, but you're absolutely right. It's timely. It's kind of new age HR thinking, I guess.
For me, it's really heavily paired with the idea that a lot of organizations tout recently, which is lack of verticality.
Yeah, exactly.
Flattening of organizations and HR that's seen this way. And ironically, because of course, flattening of organizations has effects on organizational compensation levels. And I have seen it. And sometimes I see it as like an archetype.
Yeah, totally, dude. Mm-hmm.
Like a caricature, which isn't fair, I suppose, but I picture it like a trading card.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I don't know. It doesn't work.
It really doesn't work.
Again, confidentiality, right? We talked about this in the grievance podcast. It's like, sometimes they act as if, oh, I'm here for you. And then of course, then that would be, the assumption would be that
exactly
they're on your team and the confidentiality would come along with that. Like it's like a tenet of this, like I'm your advocate thing.
The fact that people believe it is because it's by design, they're being convinced of it.
And I don't know that everyone's being misleading about it. I do think some HR people see themselves that way.
They do.
Even though they can't be, and they're not. And so you have to watch out for it. You can't let them convince you. You have to be a little more aware of the world than a person trying to convince you of this. And we talked about it in our guidance around grievances. And by the way, y'all, grievance is a formalized process in this conversation. We're not just saying if somebody's whined about you because
complained about you.
Yeah, grievances are formalized. There's a structure. It's often also tied with organizations with union components. Whenever you discuss, specifically in a grievance process, anything with your HR professional, you're revealing it to the organization's chain of command. You have to assume that it's going into a report
it's the process.
Yeah, it's going up. You would do well to assume.
Yes.
No matter what, you would do well to assume that. You would do well to assume lack of confidentiality.
Assume, grievance or no, but
right.
Definitely grievance.
Yeah, definitely always think of your HR person as someone who is sharing the information that you give them with the organization, full stop. And in a grievance situation, that stuff could be used against you, really in any HR situation. Although we hate to say that because we don't want you to be afraid of HR. That's kind of the whole point here, is not to strike fear into your heart, but to advise you how to behave with caution. Just because someone's not your friend doesn't mean you have to be scared of them.
Exactly. You should try and foster good relationships, to our point earlier. You should just be aware of the limitations of those relationships.
Yeah. Person who thinks that they are your rep is wrong, and you have risk because the way they behave around supporting you reflects their opinion, which is false.
Yeah.
One more thing about it. If the HR professional tells you that the grievance process is confidential, danger. They're probably technically correct in a general way that it's not supposed to go outside of a certain group of people, and therefore it's confidential. The thing is that it's not really a generalizable concept. It attaches to roles and topics in very specific ways. And this one won't be confidential because the other people in the grievance process are talking about it.
Yeah, it might be confidential from people outside of this process, but it's certainly not confidential from people inside the process and from the organization. And
I would suggest most people who file grievances are pretty, not all grievances can be useful. However, most people who are filing a grievance, they have no qualms about talking to their friends about it. So don't make any assumptions, y'all.
Yes, exactly.
Keep your cards close to your vest.
And listen to our podcast on responding to a grievance. And if you're a licensee, email us if you are being grieved so that we can send you guidance and help you as well. Alrighty. So folks, here we are saying at the beginning of a podcast, we don't hate HR. We're really nice to HR. And then doing like a two-part podcast that isn't really that nice to HR. So I'm so sorry about that. It's true. And the vast majority of HR professionals are just that, professionals. Their roles expose them to several areas where the relationship between managers requires careful consideration by the manager. That is you, folks. You do not work for them. They don't work for you. You both work for your organization. Just like when finance and sales disagree, while both are trying to do what is the best thing for the org from their perspective, you and HR have different incentives, different viewpoints, and different responsibilities. And the effective manager handles these situations carefully while still working really, really, really hard to have a really good relationship with HR. Again, one last plug for the work really hard to find a good HR business partner. Someone that you trust, that you can work well with, that you can turn to when you have those weird HR problems, when they tell you things like, oh, that's illegal. And it's really not illegal. It's just ill-advised by HR.
Right. Turns out laws are written down. So we can be sure. Oh, that's a line from a movie. Actually, that's not. I didn't make that up. So we can't check to be sure if it's legal or not, because you can like look that up.
Exactly.
All right. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Kate.
That's all for this week, y'all. Join us again next week as we cover a new topic. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, don't forget to follow and rate, review our podcast. It helps more people find us and keeps the conversation going. Have a great day. Bye, everybody.
Bye.